Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. It's June 7th, a Tuesday, 2022. How are we on this beautiful day? I'm sure, I don't know, if you've been out, you probably figured out gas went up to $5 or $4.99. My son came in this morning. He's like, I need some gas money. And I'm like, yeah, I bet you do. And, you know, hit him with some gas money. And, you know, it's tough out there. And what is this? Okay. And can you imagine paying for gas and also paying for like one of your kids' gas? You think you have it bad. And he's driving a truck. I was talking to my father one day and I was just saying, maybe we just need to drive less. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but prior to really the gas pandemic, the gas catching COVID, it used to be about $70 to fill up my truck, $70 or my Jeep. And I have just continued to put $70 in my Jeep every week. Now, I don't also have a job where it requires a lot of driving. So I'm not sure that would work in everybody's situation. But for me, I just drive to work, which is, it's not that far. I would probably say 5, maybe 6 miles from my house, 7 miles from my house. So I'm pretty lucky. We're pretty lucky in that way. But, you know, I just put $70 in and I just drive less. So, I really haven't felt the pinch of the gas yet. But I know, like, my son who drives out to Georgetown to go to school and, you know, he's busy and he's young and he's social and he's, you know, out doing stuff. And, you know, we're having to help him out with gas. He is actually going to work today and tomorrow, which is good. But, man, what a change. And, I mean, I know I would hate to have a business that required a lot of gasoline, landscaping, delivery. I see, different social platforms, people complaining, and it's all about, you know, Biden and all these different people. And, I don't know. There's part of me, you know, if I looked at it from two sides, there's part of me that feels like we're pretty spoiled. We're pretty spoiled, including me. I'm not saying anybody else, including myself. Everything I might say is actually including me. I'm spoiled. I have loved the fact that I've had the freedom to drive pretty much wherever and whenever I've ever wanted to. You know, back in the day, they built towns. What's that noise? They built towns so that you could walk, you know, from your house to a store to whatever it was. And then when they started creating cars and pushing that forward, they started opening, you know, expanding towns so that you almost needed a car to get anywhere in the town. And, you know, just, I know we've gone through some great gas shortages. I remember when I was a kid, it was always this underlying tone that we are going to run out of gas. So, and then all of a sudden, you know, we still haven't run out. So it's kind of been a little bit of a racket ever since at least I've been alive. But I don't know. What's going to happen? What is going to happen? Are people not going to drive? That'd be crazy. Have to drive. So how do you pay for the gas? I guess that's falls under the inflation, right? Raising the price of everything. And, you know, I talked about this the other day about, you know, going to, you know, to the horse show. Couldn't really support them. You know, the price was too high. I don't know. What's in this cord? I got this new board and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm getting like little noises and shit. So if you hear them, I apologize. But yeah, so what? Then we stopped supporting small business and then the small businesses closed down. And then we really just don't have anywhere to go anyway to use the gas. So I don't know. It is, it's pretty crazy. And, you know, and it creates a lot of fear. I know that I'm, you know, full of fear. I'm worried about it. I'm blessed that we're, like I said, we're not, you know, I used to have a landscaping business many years ago, me and my buddy, and I would not want to be filling gas cans and lawnmowers and tractors and trucks with gas today. I mean, that would be brutal. Some of the services that we pay for, you know, and it's all kind of this rise, right? You know, we started off in life doing everything on our own, and then someone's like, hey, man, I could do it for you if you pay me. And you're like, hey, wow, that's a great idea. I actually pay someone to do what I was actually doing before. And then so you created a job, and then we create more jobs, and then somebody's like, I can take that. And so, you know, that's kind of how our whole little world works. But, you know, I you know, typically take my car to the car wash. When I was a kid, there we didn't go to a car wash. There was one. It's funny. We actually, I grew up in Albuquerque, so there was the Octopus Car Wash, which is actually featured in Breaking Bad. I don't know if you remember it or saw it, but where the one guy, he owns the car wash. Well, that's the old Octopus Car Wash that my mom, when we were kids, we would go every once in a while and get the car wash through the car wash. And, but you know, for the most part, we washed the car. We used to wash my parents' cars and my dad would give us some money for washing the car, but going through car washes were pretty much unheard of. I think when my mom used to go through a car wash, it was probably because we were a little too little to be washing cars. But as we got of age and became able to wash them, we washed cars, and my dad would pay us. And I actually had a car washing business at one point when I was in Albuquerque. I didn't own it. I worked for a guy, Ken and Mace and my buddies. But the point is that, you know, for the last, I don't know, however many years, I'll run my car through a car wash. And you know what? It's funny is getting sober for me. Sobriety started allowing me to be able to do things like get car washes. You know, for a long time, you know, I didn't have any money. I barely could get fucking two nickels to rub together. My dad really had to help us out so much, and so going to car washes and eating out and doing all these things that are. I'm available to do today, I wasn't available to do back then. So I used to wash my own car. And it wasn't until just like in the last 10 years that I was started actually paying somebody to actually wash my car. My life had improved. My financial situation had improved to a point where I could actually afford car washes. Well, it's changing. And I wash the cars. Usually we take them to the car wash right over here in the town. And I wash both of our cars on Sunday. I washed them by hand. You know, it's starting to figure out places where we can save a little bit of money. And on top of all that, my wife just quit her job. You know, she's not going to work anymore, at least not for today. You know, try to be home with family. And so we're definitely figuring out how our budget's going to look like. And it's just really crazy. But, you know, one thing is I know it's going to work out, right? I know for me, at least today, it's going to work out. I may not like what the picture looks like when it's all said and done. I may not like it, but I will be fine. I will evolve. My family will evolve. We will adjust, and we will cut out the things that we have to cut out. And, you know, that's where, you know, you worry about other small businesses. But, and that's why, you know, I said this before. You try to find places that are creative in ways of trying to become, that aren't just trying to make the rent on every dish, right? You know, like Pat's Pizza that we like to go to, They serve it to us on two plates and maybe give us a plate charge. I don't know. But it was, you know, it was a reasonable amount of food that we could split it. You know, my wife and I, we're not big eaters. So, but, you know, just trying to be creative and still be able to support and enjoy this world. You know, I had a big conversation last night with my dad. Me and my dad, man, we're like this freaking, we're like just on the edge of like a fist fight. but we're not, you know, but it's still, I've shared before, you know, in this step that I read yesterday, the seventh step about, you know, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. You know, my father's and I relationship was a shortcoming. We struggled for good reason. You know, I was kind of a shitty son for a long time and kind of dragged him through the mud a bit just in life. It's kind of strange now as a parent of a 16-year-old and thinking back as my father was a parent of me as a 16-year-old and how completely different our lives are. You know, at 16, I was running a complete muck. Out of control, grounded. I mean, I probably spent my 11th grade grounded the whole year. Just a real battle. And I look at how my relationship is with my 16-year-old, and it's iffy. You know, my kid's not, I don't think he is. You know, who knows, right? I mean, what's going on? But it, for the most part, it seems like he's doing really well. He doesn't seem to be doing anything too inappropriate. He's a little caught up in the girl game. Him and his girlfriend are, you know, exploring young adulthood, and it's a challenge for us. But I also remember what it was like. But, you know, my dad was over last night because we, you know, we try to have him over a few nights a week. And man, we're just so close to, like, getting in a fucking fight. And my wife's like, let it go. Let it go. And I'm like, oh, because, you know, we talk about, and it's strange because as a parent, you know, my parents were so helpful. They supported us so much, and I I'll always be indebted and love them for that. Love my parents, miss my mom, but they were so. And I was adopted, so as an adopted kid, my parents went above and beyond trying to support and be there for us as kids. And I tell my dad that was the wrong thing to do. You were. I'm looking back on it, right? It's easy to look back and say this is what was wrong and this is what was right. But looking back on it, that was our biggest detriment, was the fact that my dad fixed everything financially and supported us through thick and thin, which is ideally, I guess, as a parent, what you want to do. But there's a fine line, right? And when I was a kid, there wasn't a line at all. You know, we would do whatever we were. You know, my dad would maybe get pissed or something if we did something bad, but, you know, we just kept on going, right? And, you know, we were talking last night, and I was saying, because my dad says, your philosophy is a lot different, like you're an expert or something. Like, he's just kind of, like, digging at me a little bit. And I go, Dad, I don't have a philosophy, you know, but I know one thing. I'm not going to put up with the shit that you put up with for as long as you put up with it and continue to put up with it. Not for me, by the way, and really not for my brother. My brother and I are actually doing really well, but, you know. But the fact is that he's like, you know, like, I don't know, maybe I'm fucking sensitive. He just loves to fucking dig at me. And I guess that's what parents do with their kids. You know, I'm sure I'm not the only one that deals with this kind of stuff, but it's just, he drives me crazy. And, you know, I said something to him that I really probably shouldn't have said, which was, I don't think I would be taking parenting advice from you. He didn't care for that. Come on!
You gotta
Yep, 1%. I'm the 1% success rate. I think it's this wire is making noise. But anyway, the point was is that me and my father are such fucking completely different, and I don't necessarily blame my father. I think it's the generations. And, you know, it was just a different life back then when we were kids in the 80s and, you know, 70s and 80s, the Gen X's, and it was such a simple life, and it's not that way today. And my parents, I don't know how you are or how it was, but my parents treated us like kids. You were a kid, and until basically I say you're not a kid anymore, it's almost like you're just always a kid, meaning you're not capable of doing things that adults can do. And my philosophy is a little different. You know, we try to be more sort of. I have to be careful here because I also flounder a lot of shit too. But, you know, we try to, and I think it's the time we're in, you know. Like my 16-year-old back in when the pandemic had started, you know, he got a job at 14, was making, you know, 10 bucks an hour at 14 and riding his bike to work. And it was like, hey, man, it almost got to be like, you know, all fend for oneself because I couldn't take him. He took care of himself, got to work. You know, he stepped up into some big boy shoes a little earlier than, you know I did. And that's just kind of how we are. I call them mini adults. You know, I said the only, and this is what I told my dad, the only difference between kids and us is the fucking, we have more experience and we're taller. Because it's the same brain, right? It's all, I mean, life is what? Just experience. You know, the smarter people, their life included a lot more books. You know, the worldly people, their life included more traveling. But it's the same. It's the same brain car, and kids are smart. They are smart, but you know it's tough. And so my dad, like I said, my dad was over him. It's just it's, you know, trying to talk about because the conversation came up about alcoholism. My dad's mother was an alcoholic. My dad's father drank a lot. To be determined whether he was an alcoholic or not. Not that it was that important, but. My mom was an alcoholic. There was just a lot of alcoholism. And I think my adoptive father was an alcoholic. In fact, I know he was in jail for being drunk and fighting police and stuff. So alcohol is definitely all around me. And but he was like, you know, alcoholism is, you know, when you drink, you can't stop. And I said, well, I said, I think it, you know, I said, it's more than that, Dad. You know, I identify as a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. To me, that's the disease. There's this, it's like walking up on a fire and looking at it and say, wow, that's fire. I need to put the fire out, but not realizing that it's like a source, a gas line that's spewing in the gas that's creating the fire. And you think, well, if I just put out the fire, it fixes the problem. No, you put out the fire and now you're just spewing gas everywhere. So, you know, there's seeing the forest through the trees. And I told him, you know, drinking, we kind of started to get into it. And I said, so what happens when you stop drinking? Are you still an alcoholic? And he's like, yeah, I think so. I said, no. I said, and I was trying to explain to him, and this is for me, you know, this is where I'm at least. This is how I can at least map a way to some sort of peace of mind. But to me, I'm a self-centered person. That means I was born to think of myself. I'm the first thing I think of, right? And I lack the ability to think of others. You know, I said, I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. And he goes, you know, he's like, does not compute. And I'm like, I think of myself before I think of others, and I lack the ability to be considerate of others. And that's my disease, whether it's an alcohol, money, whatever it is. And he's like, you know, I never really thought about that. You know, and it's like I've created this philosophy. I go, this isn't something I've created. This is this is my problem. You know, I would love to pretend that my only problem is that if I drank, I got into trouble. If I don't drink, I'm fine. I wish it was like that. But it isn't like that. I haven't had a drink for a long time, and I still struggle. And when we go through situations like we're going through, you know, if I have not, if I was just dry, right, not drinking, not working a program, and we were going through this situation that we're going through with inflation and, you know, the pandemic and all this, I would be freaking out, right? But being somewhat sober and being, you know, somewhat serene and being somewhat in a program, I can look at it and I can work through the program and realize that, you know, for today, right now, I'm okay, right? And, you know, my famous saying from Matt H., you know, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it'll work out. This is one of those moments that I have to break it down to something that simple. And then, you know, and I told my wife, hey, man, as long as you're not paying for hookers and smoking crack, it should work out. And she goes, well, I haven't paid for a hooker. She's funny. But, you know, it's something that I have to do. And that's sort of the reason my dad comes over, is that we can talk and, you know, just kind of put it all out there, say it, right? If you can say something like that, it will cut the anxiety of it in half. And, you know, my dad will get up in his head and then he'll say it out loud. And then you can see him start to think about it. And he's like, maybe this isn't as much as I thought. So, you know, I'm just grateful, you know, because this program, I guess sort of the point is, this program brings me so much help through so many other parts of my life other than drinking. And I'm just so grateful for that. You know, it's unfortunate that more people don't want to or don't have an opportunity to work a program, right? My deficiency in the ability to make correct decisions from alcohol and drugs has allowed me to be involved in a program that really allows me to be sober and have a peace of mind. You know, like in that, it talks about in the fifth step, that real transition, that change. I don't really think up until the fifth step, peace of mind is really important. Nobody said you get peace of mind. But if you can admit, create a relationship, create an inventory, tell it to somebody, your most darkest secrets, then a transition starts, and it's called humility. That's when God, humility, surrender, sacrifice, all these different words that mean really the same thing. God. You know, I remember thinking that I had to be in church. I remember thinking I had to have a Bible to get this, and I don't. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Helping others, taking care of ourselves, not being right all the time, trying to be, have some humility. Try to have conversations. You know, my wife and I, we converse about certain things. Sometimes she gets really wound up about something that to me seems super silly. But if a humble position in that conversation is about listening, not making it about myself. You know, let her share what her fears are and say, you know, things like, I understand, I hear what you're saying, I agree. That's, you know, instead of like, oh, that happened to me, you know, or this is what I'm going through. You know, it's trying to be a positive ear. And then that way, her and I can try to work through these things together. It's hard enough going through shit, but it's hard enough when you have to fight and then go through shit, right? And it's the same thing with my father. You know, I have to bite my tongue. I have to, like, refrain from pen and tongue and saying some shit to my dad that's going to really upset him. I don't know. Let's see what the daily let's see if the daily reflections Cobra, and we just found out yesterday that we've been uninsured for like a couple weeks. So another great reason for her to leave that job, which she left, you know, on good terms, but they just, these companies are scrambling too. They don't give a shit. So we're having to get insurance, and, you know, it's a little scary because we've had pretty good insurance, and now I don't think we'll have as good of insurance, but, you know, it's just one of the things that we'll have to kind of work through. It's worth it to us to pay extra and have her home than it is to work. And yeah. So let's see. Let me find the daily reflections. Daily reflections. Oh, let's see. All right. Daily reflections. What is today? The 7th. June 7th. Long-term hope. Since most of us are born with an abundance of natural desires, it isn't strange that we often let these far exceed their intended purpose. When they drive us blindly, or we willfully demand that they supply us with more satisfaction or pleasures than are possible or due to us, that is the point at which we depart from the degree of perfection that God wishes for us here on earth. That is the measure of our character, defects, or, if you wish, our sins. Oh. 12 steps, 12 traditions. All right, it says, this is where long-term hope is born and perspective is gained, both of the nature of my illness and the path of my recovery. The beauty of AA lies in knowing that my life, with God's help, will improve. The AA journey becomes richer, the understanding becomes truth, and the dreams become realities, and today become forever. As I step into the AA light, my heart fills with presence of God. Yeah. You know, if you read that, or if I read that, it says, you know, the beauty of AA lies in knowing that my life, with God's help, will improve. You know, when I first came to the program, that to me, if I'd have read that, I would say that God will be helping. But what I've learned today, and this is just for me, but what I've learned today is that I have to participate. The beauty of AA lies in knowing that my life, with God's help, with me living a lifestyle like God, will improve. And now I'm not changing the words. It says the beauty of AA lies in knowing that my life, with God's help, will improve. And what that says to me is that I need to adjust me. I need to be more of a humble-based lifestyle. Like that. The beauty of AA lies in knowing that my life, with God's help, will improve. Like yet last night, you know, by, you know, refraining from pen and tongue, it wasn't necessary that I got into it with my father, which in turn, he left on a good note. I stayed home on a good note. I said I would call him tomorrow. My life stayed the same or improved due to that relationship that my father has, or that my father and I have, but knowing in the background that humility is the only thing that's going to save our relationship. And humility is a lifestyle of God. Yeah, and I'm still not going to church, okay? Anyway, that's that's good shit, man. I hope everyone has a great day. Thank you for letting me share, and we'll catch you later. Bye.